Start your day the Toe Way, Robbie Hood at Steenberg.
Good morning, everyone. Yaakov Galinsky would always start Parshas Yisroi. Why did Yisroi have to have seven names? Imagine having seven names, quite awkward for the Gabba. So the answer is he had seven daughters. I'd have to pay for the chadar, for the expenses of one chasna. Need to get a new name. Okay. There's a famous story of they say it's about the son-in-law of the Shach or Berman, Ritzvi Berman, but I've heard it about other people as well. That they were traveling on the bus, looking over the parsha, and thinking of Duch Mishrashish, Taimiko. And sitting next to them or across from them was a person sitting and reading the newspaper. And after getting from Daybreak to Aviv to Yerushalayim, the fellow throws down the newspaper and says, "Ach, nothing new, it's all the same nonsense." And the Rosh Yeshiva thinking, here I am reading something which is thousands of years old, and I find new ideas, new concepts, new thoughts, and he's reading a newspaper which is not even a couple of hours old, and he finds it boring. Sometimes you can read the paper and you're not sure, like, if there's anything different from the year before. You know, change the date and it could be last year's papers. Same kind of nonsense. And Bemis Rashi tells us this, that Bayom HaZeh, Rashi asks the question, why does it say that they came Bayom HaZeh? He should have said Bayom HaHu. And Rashi answers, Ma'u Bayom HaZeh, She divetur chadosh molecho, Tersh be new on you, Kilu hayom nitnu. As if they were given today. That means every day, Torah should be new. You know, that's so, we talk about the news, they say the Chadashot. Chadashot is the news, right? The news. What is the news? Torah is the news. And this idea, this feeling that you can have, that you're reading Chumash Rashi, it's new. And Mashenkin, the newspapers are not new. This is what Rashi means. And Bemis, this is to commend the start of the day. That what happens is, how the years of giving Shiurim, and every year, you want to get new ideas, new inspiration from the parsha. It's new. It's a new thing. And that's a very big chashivus. We want to try to make Torah. That means the concept of making Torah new is something which Rashi tells us about. But I'd like to, one of, I would say even a pet peeve of mine, is I think that people misunderstand this Rashi, even this whole story. That what happens is you get that people think that it has to be new, right? So what's new? So they look for something new. A medrash which nobody's ever heard of, an idea, maybe a dvar Torah and some das keli which nobody's heard of, and in that way they're being mekayim you benecho kechadosh, the Torah should be new. This is the new. The Torah says bayoma zeh, not bayoma hu. But first, so Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, if you look very carefully, Rashi says chadosh shudiv b'Torah chadoshim olecho. They should be new on you. You should see them as if they are new. Torah should be new in your own mind. That means you have to look at Torah with a new eyes, as if this is the first time. Not that you find a new Torah, but that you yourself have to look at it with new, fresh eyes. And that's a much more difficult avoider. It's very easy to come up with a nice thing to say, I found something new. That's not what the avoider is. It's much harder. This Thursday, I was once speaking about it in Kert Sefer, it was years ago. And the one came to me and he said, he agrees with me very much. He said, what happens is, especially when it comes to Pesach, they come up with new books, with fascinating, strange kind of midrash, which we never were brought up with, about the Makkos, which we never even heard of. All because they want to make the children excited. But the reality is, that's not the avoider. The avoider is to be able to look at it from a new... They say that if you change the way you look at things, the things that you're looking at change. You have to change the way you're looking at it. I mean, imagine a person would sit Friday night, instead of coming up with a new medrash, sit down and describe with new, fresh eyes what Muhammad al-Sinai looked like, what it meant for millions of people. What's the biggest group we've ever seen? 10,000, 20,000, I don't know what we've been to. That city, how much was there? 5,000, to our millions of people. And to picture what it was like to see a mountain burning, if lightning and thunder, it's the newness is not that the Torah is new. That's not what Rashi says. But it should be new on us. We should look at it as if it's new. And I just want to mention, because this is not so noticeable, unfortunately, that but it's a very big change. Honestly, someone showed this to me, and it changed it for me a little bit. The pasuk there describes, I want to come to it a little bit. It says, Vayibayim HaShlishi. Maybe you know it, but it's a very grotesque pasuk design. It says, Vayibayim HaShlishi was on the third day. This is the day of Matan Torah. B'yoyis HaBoker when it was morning. Vayikolus HaBrokim. There was thunder and lightning. There was light, thunder and lightning from the mountain. B'anon Kovid Alahor. So you've got Har Sinai. Constant thunder and lightning, right? Thunder and lightning on a regular basis, every few seconds. And a very heavy cloud, because shofar, the sound of the shofar, chazak moed, a very loud shofar, four things. Heavy cloud, thunder, lightning, and the shofar. Vayechad kol ha'am asher b'machneh, everybody trembled. They weren't by Har Sinai, they were at home in the camp, but they all from the camp could see and hear these sounds and noises, these sights, and they all trembled. So Moshe Rabbeinu encourages them, come to the mountain, vayotze Moshe somikas, come to the mountain, vayisyatzvu, the sachtes are, they're all standing there at the bottom of the mountain. V'har Sinai oshan kuloi. Now, many people make the mistake of thinking that this pasuk is repeating and describing better that which has already been. That means the pasuk says, and the mountain of Har Sinai became full of smoke, but that's not the translation. The real explanation of the pasuk is like this. As they were standing at Har Sinai, after these four things we mentioned before, they all came to the bottom of the mountain, stood there, and suddenly they saw the entire mountain go up on fire. The whole mountain went up on fire. And what happened was, when it went on fire, the whole mountain started billowing out smoke, this is not cloud, and they understood that why is the mountain going on fire? The fire of Hashem came down. As they were standing there, this is not describing what they saw from the camp. This was a new thing. That suddenly the whole mountain went on flames and big smoke, and they sensed, they could see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had come down on the mountain before the sounds of the shofar and the lightning and the thunder was preparation. And many times you have the kings coming, so you have trumpets and all kinds of things, drums and everybody preparing. But then suddenly they actually saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming down on the mountain. And then a new thing happened. The whole mountain started trembling. These are all new things which happened only once they got there to the bottom of the mountain. Now, Chaim HaKadosh says that the actual rocks of the mountain caught on fire. It means it was. He says that when you've got a very, very powerful fire, then you put rocks inside it, then what happens is the rocks themselves look like they're on flames. I'm not adding, by the way. I just want to try, again, this is the point of the idea of Chadoshim. Chadoshim doesn't mean to come up with something new, a new rayon which you've never heard of before, which is nice. But much greater avodah is to find a way to look at it as if it is new. Imagine what that was like, looking at the pasuk and seeing what the pasuk says. That what happened was, Klai Yisrael came to the mountain, they were standing there, and suddenly they saw the presence of Hashem come down in front of them. And it means not only they saw a fire, but they understood, they realized that it wasn't just a fire, but rather that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina itself was coming down on the mountain. They could see that. They all became Levim. The Pasuk, Atav Yisrael Das, Hashem Elohim Elohim Elvadoi. That was said, Rashi tells us, at Har Sinai. That at Har Sinai they saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was coming down on the mountain, and they could see that there was only one power, Hashem, and no other. Going on the similar point, this is the Kudah. I just want to say this is a famous vote as well. It's a good idea. The part that we always have that Parshas Yisro, you can always split the Parshah into two halves. Split into two halves very easily. You've got the story of Yisro in the beginning half of the Parshah, the story of Muhammad Har Sinai in the second half of the Parshah. The story of Yisro is a story of a person that gave up everything to go and hear Torah, to go and go into the Midbar. Rashi says he went out to the Midbar. What does Rashi say? Everybody knows that Klai Yisrael went in the Midbar, so why is it possible to tell us that Yisrael went into the Midbar? To tell us the greatness of Yisrael, he was standing b'chvoidei shel olam, and he left everything to go to be with Klai Yisrael to hear Torah. My father, Salah Gazun Zayn Shabbat, for Shleiber, says very beautifully, that like this, that what do you mean he was standing b'chvoidei shel olam? In Parashat Shemois, we're told that his daughters are being chased away because they put him in Nidui. So where is he standing b'chvoidei shel olam? The answer is because there, it was just after he had advised Paro, don't start chaffering the Yidden. So when that happened, everybody said to him, you know, what kind of person are you? And they rejected him, he gave up Avodah Zarah. For 80 years pass, and for 80 years everybody thinks this has made a mistake. Finally, after 80 years, they see that Esam Makkos and Kriyas Yamsuf, and everybody realizes that Yisro is right. So finally, after 80 years, Yisro is vindicated. Now he gets Kavod Shel Olam. He gets the greatest honor of the world. 80 years, imagine for 80 years we've been arguing something. After 80 years, he finds to be right. And what does he do? He leaves it all and goes out into the midbar to listen to Torah. That's the first half of the parasha, the greatness of Yisro. Second half of the parasha is Mamad Har Sinai. Mamad Har Sinai was the greatest event that ever happened in history. It changes our whole understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our whole understanding of the Chashivas of Torah. And the question always is, why are the two things together? Why are the two stories in the same parasha? That is one of the big main questions. And there's a word from Yom Mizrahi, Be'im, the beginning of this week's parasha. Rashi starts off the parasha in a very short Rashi because we've got so much written on it. The pasuk says, "Vayishma Yisro." Yisro heard, and the pasuk describes what did he hear? All that Hashem did to Moshe and to Yisrael Amoy. And Rashi says, "Mashmu Shama Uba." What did he hear to come? Fiyah Samsu from Chelis Amolik. And everybody asks, "What's Rashi trying to do over here?" He heard Fiyah Samsu from Chelis Amolik. The pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk doesn't mention Amolik altogether. The pasuk says that Hashem took Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Why does Rashi? The pasuk says that Yisro hears. And the Pasuk describes what he hears. And then Rashi comes along, asks the same question as the Pasuk, and gives us a different answer. What's Rashi trying to do? And the Yom Mizrahi says, the Rashi wasn't asking, what did Yisro hear? Rashi is asking, Mashmur Shema Ubo. What made him come? That means, Rashi was disturbed in last week, in Parshas B'Shalach, it says, Shomu Amim Yigozum. All the nations heard. Chiloch HaZishri Peloshes, all the people in Peloshes trembled. Everybody heard. So what made Yisro come? Why did he need to come? They heard, and they stayed at home. He should have heard and stayed at home. Rashi asks, what made him come? Answer. He heard Kriya Samsuf from Chemes Amalek. He heard that there was this tremendous miracle of Kriya Samsuf, which the whole world trembled. The Moigu Kolish V'chinoan. Everybody was in such a state of fear. Rochav HaZoyna tells the Meragvim, Lo'ikam Moid Ruach Be'ish. Rashi there says, means that no man was able to be with his wife in a normal fashion, because of the tremendous fear. When a person has a tremendous fear, he doesn't have any spirit left inside him. So that happened from Kriya Samsuf. And straight away afterwards, what comes? Melchemes Amalek. So Yisro understood, you can hear, but you're not listening. And when you're hearing and not listening, you're not going to change anything at all. And when that happened, he realized that he has to come. That's what made Yisro leave the covenant that he had and come out to be in the Kais or the Midbar. Rashi is asking, what made him come? Why not just stay at home? Answer, if after Kriya Samsu, you can have Melchemes Amalek, it's not enough to hear, you have to do something about it. And that is the reason why, one of the reasons, why the story of Yisro begins always the story of Mamad Har Sinai. We're going to read about Mamad Har Sinai. A person is able to read the story and hear it without listening to it. And if he hears it without listening to it, just like Amalek could come after Kriya Samsu, and ignore Kriya Samsu and come and fight Klai Yisrael, a person can hear Mamad Har Sinai and not change at all. The Ramban in his Yigeru says, when you get up from the Sefer to Chabis B'Shalom Adator, look what you've learned, if there's something that you're able to keep, if there's something you're able to keep. The idea is, the Ramban is telling you, you can hear very lot, but if you're not listening, it's a waste of time. And that is why Yisro was the one who taught it to us more than any other. And because of that, before we come to Mamad Har Sinai, we have to hear, we started off with saying this Rashi of Chadoshim, but Torah is new. And we said that Torah is new, doesn't mean that we have to find a new Torah that we didn't hear. Rather, it has to be that when we hear it as new. But this is a step further. It's not enough to hear it as a new. A person has to learn to listen to Torah. There's a famous marshal of the Duvle Magid, of a person who's a simpleton, never been to a town before in his life, and finally comes to a town and he's amazed. He sees big buildings, things which he's never seen before in his life, and he sees railway tracks. And what happens is, he thinks, wow, somebody made the effort of putting rails down that he should be able to walk. It's a beautiful path. And he's walking along, dancing along, and then he sees a train coming, and the train is hooting, hooting. And somebody says to him, can't you hear the sound of the train? He says, of course I can hear it. Isn't it wonderful? He's hearing the sound of the horn, but he doesn't listen to it. He doesn't understand that it's telling him to get off the tracks. A person can hear very, very lot. And that's unfortunately the struggle we have, is not to find a new Torah. The struggle we have is to listen to the Torah that we already have. Yisro was able to do it. Since Yisro was able to do it, therefore we choose Yisro as the one to start off Mamad Har Sinai. When we come to Mamad Har Sinai, it has to change the way we see our entire lives. To say very interesting, the Rechaim HaKadosh, really we should be talking about Mamad Har Sinai. The Rambam writes, the Mamad Har Sinai is the maimed which a person has to be megadol it, meruimim it, at every opportunity. The Rambam Negeres Teiman, he says that at every opportunity that a person has, should spend time talking about the greatness of Mamad Har Sinai. And there's huge amounts. It changes the person thinks about it. It changes the person's whole emunah. They saw how Kadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. You all know the Medrash that when Kadosh Baruch Hu said Anoichi, the birds didn't chirp, the waves didn't move, the cows didn't move, there was no wind, the malachim stopped singing. And one has to understand, what was the purpose of such a thing? Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu have to make it? And the answer is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that there's only one power in existence. If a bird would chirp, a person may think, Chas v'Shalom, that that bird chirping is separate from the koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the person is walking along, he feels a bit of wind on him, or he hears a bird chirping, or he hears any sound, or anything, the waves moving. The person has to understand that all of that, at Mamud HaSinai, we came to the absolute recognition, after Aveis HaLodas. Aveis HaLodas means you were taught to see, that means you opened, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as she says, he opened it up for us to see, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no other power. There's no such thing as a bird chirping, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu deciding that that should be so, or Kamu, or anything like that. It also changes our whole understanding of the Chashivus of Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made such a tremendous maimed, such a tremendous event, is to celebrate the fact that Torah is so special. It changes also our understanding of the Chashivus of Yid. The greatness of Klal Yisrael became clear at Mamad HaSinai. A person, a Yid, should be able to be walking around with no money, with no family, with no health, and still feel millions of times infinitely greater than the most powerful and greatest and good that there is. That's really part of the Mamad HaSinai, was Klal Yisrael were taught the chashivus of what Klal Yisrael are. The Rambam brings Medrash, Shuvi Shuvi Ashulamis, Shuvi Shuvi Venechzeboch, Matechzub Ashulamis, Kimechul Asamachanoim. Rambam explains that the goyim come to Klal Yisrael and they say, Shuvi, turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say it four times. Shuvi, Shuvi, Ashulamis. Shuvi, Shuvi. Turn away. Shulamis is Klal Yisrael. Shulamis means the perfect one. The goyim say to Klal Yisrael, turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nechzeboch. What does v'nechzeboch mean? We will appoint you to high positions. Like in this week's parasha, Yisrael says to Moshe, V'ato sechezem. You will appoint important people. V'nechzeboch will appoint you to positions of power. Ma'techzu v'ashulamis. What positions of power can you give to Klal Yisrael which compares to that which we got at Mamad HaSinai? A person who thinks about Mamad HaSinai should be able to walk around saying, there's nothing that a goy can offer me. That means Klal Yisrael don't say, it is wrong. Klal Yisrael don't say, what do you mean, we promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They say to the goy that there's nothing you can offer which is at all comparable, there's nothing which is of value. That is what Klal Yisrael replied. That's looking at Mamad HaSinai with fresh eyes. Very beautiful, Chaim HaKadosh. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he speaks to Klal Yisrael, says the many different descriptions. Mamleches Goyanim, Goy Kadosh, Am Segulo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes that each one of these phrases, one can imagine, is a whole world of its own. Mamleches Goyanim, what's it mean to be a Mamleches Goyanim? That every one of us is a Goy. Every one of us is a Goy Kadosh. What's it mean Am Segulo? What's it mean Am Segulo? The Chaim HaKadosh says, the word Segulo, what's the translation of the word Segulo? The word skula means something that doesn't work according to the rules of nature. Right? If I say to you that if you want to get somewhere, you have to walk. That's not a skula. It makes sense. Get there, you walk there. Right? But a skula would be if I find a way to do something, a shortcut, something which is, I haven't found the right English word, a charm or magic, a magical event that I can get you to do something. It says, Racham Kodesh, Klal Yisrael, I'm skula, meaning the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats Klal Yisrael doesn't make any sense at all. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes Klal Yisrael doesn't make any sense at all. What does that mean? So he says, I'll give you a few examples. He says, if a person thinks to do a mitzvah and he doesn't manage, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He rewards him as if he did a mitzvah. If a person thinks to do an aveira and he doesn't manage, what happens? He doesn't get punished. He says, does that make any sense? How can that make any sense? You think to do a mitzvah, you get rewarded. You think to do an aveira, you don't get punished. Why does that make sense? And says, Klal Yisrael is an Am Segulo. Klal Yisrael is a nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's treatment of them is an Am Segulo. A person, again, the point is, just to be able to think, to be able to look at that with fresh eyes, what does that mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us like an Am Segulo? It's the Shem Yishmor, which I once quoted before, an unbelievable Shem Yishmor, that normally says to us, that if you do aveiros, if you mechal Shabbos, you will die. So what does Rus reply? Bashet Musi almost, where you will die, I will die. So what's the Shem Yishmor Parshas Bamidbar? He asks his question. What's going on? What should Rus have answered Naomi? She should have said to her, what's going on? To die, be based in, is not so easy. You have to have Edim, you have to have Asra, you have to say Afapikain, you have to do Tichdei Dibbo. It's quite difficult. The Kabbalah is mentioned very killed very rarely. Rus should have said to Naomi that I will not be Mechal Shabbos, I will not die, I'll be based in, I'll make sure to do it right. says Hashem Yishmon, such an unbelievable world. He says that Rus was saying to Nomi, even if I end up being Mechal Shabbos, and even if I end up dying, I still prefer that to be a Yid. And Hashem Yishmon says it's better to be the worst kind of Yid than the best kind of Goy. Unbelievable. That's part of Am Segula, the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Kodesh. And when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach us this? But Mamad Har Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, I took you like an eagle's wings. Rashi describes, and Nesha puts his wings out, he prefers that the arrow should go into him rather than into his children. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has that kind of protection to us. He put the cloud between Mitzvim and Klal Yisrael. Now, we understand that the cloud didn't hurt, that when the Mitzvim shot arrows at the cloud, they shot it back. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have that kind of picture in our minds. Like a father loves a child. A father loves a child more than anybody else. You can have a child who's difficult, and you can have a stranger who's sweet and kind. At the end of the day, who's the father going to care for? So it's Solanta's famous story. If there's a fire in the middle of that, who will the father save? His own child. It makes a difference if this stranger he doesn't know is the sweetest and pleasant in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us, and this is what came to us from Mamad Har Sinai. We have to look at Mamad Har Sinai not for new Torah. We have to look at Mamad Har Sinai with us as if we haven't seen it before. In our eyes, Rashi says, it should be Beinecho Kachadoshim. And if it's Beinecho Kachadoshim, that will be the Avodah. But very quickly, the few minutes are nice to say a few, maybe Chadoshim, things which are taken new. It's always nice to have a few things new. The Sephonu says, very, very short points. The Sephonu says that Moshe Rabbeinu came out to greet Yisroi. And beautiful words of the Sephonu, if I can read that. Yetzei Moshe, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu became the king of Klal Yisrael. The leader of Kaisom, Lechoda Bishun Balosu, the Kadifli, Mishashinim Retriever, says the Sephora that Moshe Rabbeinu became the leader and treats his father in all tremendous respect and kindness, and he's grateful to him. Like who? Like Mordechai and Esther. Esther becomes the queen, and she's still as faithful to Mordechai. And like Yosef becomes the king, and he's still kind to his brothers. Not like the Sarah Mashkim that while he's in prison tells Yosef, I'll be nice to you, but once he gets out and becomes the minister, he forgets about him. That's the difference between the Tzaddik and the Rosh. A Tzaddik doesn't remember all the people that have helped him in the past, even when he's reached success. A Rosh, when he reaches success, forgets about everybody before. It's also a very short word. It's very nice. Is that at the end of this week's parasha, we have a few mitzvahs. They seem a bit random. You have the mitzvah of not going up on steps on the Mizbeach, that Megale Elvo, if you're walking around and you open your legs wide, there's a tiny bit of Gilui Elvo. You have the mitzvah of not making tefor kruvim, or making kruvim out of silver. You're not allowed to change the exact kruvim that are, no more, no less, no different. And we have the halacha that you mustn't use a knife on the mizbeach. Very strange. What's these halachas for? It's a very, very beautiful word, which is like this, that we all know that the three worst averes gila, worst vichas tamon avodah zarah, those are the three worst averes of all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's teaching Klal Yisrael, that is the one end of the spectrum. The other end is that even the smallest thing, which is connected to that in the smallest way by a yid, that's also awesome. For example, Gilu Avos literally means Megal Erva to Mizana. But at the end of the day, when the person walks up the steps of the Mizbeach, there's a tiny hint of that. So therefore that's why yid is no good. With Sichem, he's going to kill somebody. You take a knife onto the Mizbeach, you're showing a certain lack of fear of Ritzicha. Avoid the Zohar means to serve idols. If you make an extra set of Kruvim, you're so to speak, making a mistake and making a Ketruach more physical, and you shouldn't do that. So the point is that we have to understand that every mitzvah has the extreme spectrum that we have. That first is a Mevaz of somebody, that's like a form of Ritzicha. The Torah wants to show us by Yid, what is the smallest form of it all? And that's why the end of this week's parasha teaches us what these three avodas are for Yid. I just want to say a story which gave me a bit of a chizuk. When the Kiyat Sefer started, opened up, it was a rabbi called Simcha Kessler. Simcha Kessler. And what happened was, a friend of mine who was one of the first people to move to Kiyat Sefer told me that the Simcha Kessler once said to him, who's your rabbi? He said, what do you mean? I never have a shayla, I come to you. He said, yeah, but you don't daven in my minyan. Since you don't daven in my minyan, I don't know how you're doing. I don't know what's happening in your life. You need to find yourself a rov. And they spoke for a few minutes and they arranged to bring a rov from Bnei Brak, a woman. Lemaisa, I was going to get a chizuk for the story to show a certain humility. Most, you know, he was the rov, and yet he was bringing what you'd call competitors in order because he felt it was needed for the Kehillah. But more to the point, what he was trying to teach is that a rov is not somebody that you can send your shilas to, and that's it. But rather, Rav is somebody that knows where you're holding, like what your matzavuchni is. Mishnah says, "Aseilah chovav." Asir l'chavav is not mean that if you've got a shayla and don't know what the halacha is, you should go to Rav and ask him. Because you wouldn't need that mishnah to tell you. If you don't know the halacha, you have to find out the halacha. You look it up in the sefer, ask a Rav. Asir l'chavav means that you should make for yourself a Rav. Meaning that you should have on yourself, make it for yourself a Rav. And the reason I mentioned this, in this week's parasha, if you work it out, the amount of leaders that Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu appoint is Mavel Alavan. They had over 72,000 people as leaders for Klal Yisrael. That means that was a Rav for every, literally, 9 or 10, 8 or 9 families, and Klal Yisrael had its own Rav. Was giving a drash recently at a shul which had 14 years. He said that it used to be that there was a rav for every small shtetl, and the rav would know every person's name, every person's child's name, and he would know exactly what's going on. This whole system where you have a body with a hajjus and nobody knows what's happening, that's not that same chavav that there should be. That's why I mentioned it, because of this week's thing. There's one final point I want to say. If a person's got the chance to sit inside, it's very, very kedai. The Meshech Chochmah, the beginning of Chumash Shmos, not in this week's parasha, beginning of Chumash Shmos, he talks about this week's parasha a little bit, and he describes that you should know that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was different to all kinds of Nevuah. The Nevuah of all Nevi'im was based on the fact that we saw the ability to create Nisim. We saw the ability to create Nisim, so for because of that, we came to recognition that they are right. But he says, but Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't like that. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the reason we recognize the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is because we actually saw the Nevuah. We actually heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. We saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was getting the Nevuah. And he says, therefore, all other Nevi'im, if another Navi would come with greater miracles, would have a question what to believe. But with Moshe Rabbeinu, since we saw it with our own eyes, it's a whole different kind of level. And he goes through that, in fact, the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu was an entire different Mahus. It was a different creation of Nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had. And therefore, he says, when the person... that's why he brings the Rambam. He says very beautiful about the words of the Rambam. He says all the words of the Rambam in Perek Zayin and Perek Ches. Kulam Dvov Kedushim Uberach Nevuah Amon Bli Sofik. The Shachach writes that the Rambam's two prokem in Siddur HaTir, which he describes in the Rambam Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Rambam himself wrote it Beruach Nevuah. His main nekuda is that the person has to understand that the Kabbalah Satira was given to us with a sense of clarity that it wasn't a miracle that proved that it happened, but rather we saw it all with our own eyes. When we saw it all with our own eyes, that changed the underworld. We should be zecher, as the Rambam writes in Geras Teiman, to be megadim and roimim, the mammoth of our Sinai, and thereby to have a chizuk in our munna and change the way we live. Shabbos, a little Shabbos. Tell us, okay.